it's Christmas in July, last Wednesday of Christmas in July. Turn in your hymn books to page 133 with me this evening. 133, Hark the Herald Angels, and we're going to sing three verses tonight, adding in some new songs, and so we usually put those on Wednesday nights to practice. The kids at camp know that, but the youth are out there tonight. Good to have everybody here tonight. People here this afternoon, so that was a good service and good turnout here tonight with the youth and everybody. So praise be to God for that. Page 133, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, all three verses tonight. Let's sing it out good and loud. Final Christmas in July song. Aren't you sad? Some of you are like, no, we don't want it to be Christmas yet. And you want to be, I love, yeah, Christmas is amazing. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Miss Sherry, for being in the spirit. It's Christmas all year round. All right. Oh, come all ye faithful. 145. All three verses.
Jesus.
Heavenly, thank you for this evening you've given us to come into your house and to sing praises unto you. Tonight, in the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you. You can be seated. We are going to look in our prayer list here. And when you get your Bible tonight, it'll be really, really difficult to find our place because we're going to be in Genesis 1 to start. So turn to the first page of the actual Bible and you'll be there tonight. Genesis chapter 1. Again, we had a great noon service. We are keeping Miss Kitty Saunders in our prayers. Her blood pressure has been through the roof. And if you know Kitty, she won't stop working or take any time off and keeping her in our prayers. And then Brother Logan Hatcher, he was here this afternoon, but he has an actual serious surgery on Friday, and so we want to keep Brother Logan in our prayers. And then Sister Bethany had, again, not a fun surgery he's having. We also want to lift up in our prayers today all those folks who had suffered losses in their families, keeping them in our prayers. And our missionaries of the week, Mike and Ashley Schmidt, one of our two Brazilian missionaries. Mike and Ashley were over here. They're doing a great job and learning the language. And keep the Schmidt family prayers as well. We got several praises. God has blessed us. I know that during the Young at Hearts and youth ministry last Friday night and their game night, a young man was saved. And so that's a blessing. I know they had a good turnout for that. And then we had several folks. I got saved at the camp that I was preaching at, and then also at Bible Baptist Church Savannah. A couple of folks walked out and got saved Sunday morning where I was preaching at Sunday, and so grateful for that. I want to thank all of you all for being so faithful and being here and serving, and for the guys, Brother Jeremy, Brother Brandon preaching so well, and everybody leading, Brother Kenton leading music for me, and all those things, and just taking your places. It's always good to know that you can get away and that the people will continue on, and so praise the Lord for that. Thank you very much. We also want to just highlight a couple of things this evening. We've got Young at Hearts tomorrow at noon, so if you are 55 and over, tomorrow we'll be meeting here. Bring a side dish or a dessert to share. And then Sunday is Senior Sunday, the fifth Sunday. All of our folks 55 and over, 55 and over crowd is going to be the ushers. They're going to be, there's a senior choir. So if you want to be a part of the senior choir, tomorrow after Young at Hearts, we'll meet. And then they're also going to be singing the praise and worship music. And I'm going to preach. It just kind of went in line with our sermon series, A Church on Fire. And so there's a part of that, point in that, that is about the elders, about the seniors. And so we'll be preaching about that. And so we'll have a good time. So invite all your friends. Invite all your friends, but especially those 55 and over, and show them what our Young at Hearts ministry looks like. And we're very thankful for them and Brother Chuck and all their leadership with that. Then also, campers, if you have splash campers, this is junior campers, you'll need to know that they need to be here at 8:15 on Monday morning. Correct, Brother Jeremy? At 8:15, the bus is getting picked up tonight. Had a minor repair. Nothing we had to pay for, something that they did wrong when they repaired it the first time. And so we're going to pick that up tonight. So the bus will be back and ready to go. And they'll be headed down to Camp Chautauqua for splash camp Monday morning. And then Thursday, they return on Thursday, not on Friday. And so Thursday, what time would we pick them up? We'll announce it again, Brother Jeremy, so no big deal. But for sure, Monday, drop those children off here at 8:15, and we'll be ready to go to splash camp. By 11 o'clock, okay. And you can get in. Nancy will be working both of those days. Brandon and I will be too, but you never know where we're going to be at. But Nancy will be here Monday and Thursday, so you'll be able to get in and do whatever you need to do as well. We're excited about Splash Camp. Splash Camp's one of those things where I know we make a big deal about youth camp and not as big a deal about Splash Camp. It's not because I don't want to make a big deal about it, but it's kind of hard to stricken the children's pastor with a whole bunch of kids they don't know. It's different with youth, but you get a bunch of third graders that go to camp away from mom and dad for the first time, and there's lots of tears and crying, and eventually maybe as our children's ministry is big, but we don't have a lot of kids in that age range. I think we're taking 10 campers, something like that, which is good for our church in that age range. But eventually, like when Ezekiel and Declan and all these kids are in there, we're going to have like 30 kids, and just trust me, Splash Camp is off the chain. All right? It's different than youth camp. It's not the same. And so we don't have usually as many, but the spiritual impact and what goes on there is just as important. So pray for those Splash Campers. Pray for Brother Jeremy, Sister Christy, Brother AJ's a counselor, and then Miss Bethany Hatcher. Pray for all those counselors as well. And then we have several of these young people, Jaleese, Addison, Adeline, and Madison, and Nora, this is their last year. Charlie, this is their last year at Splash Camp because their promotion day is coming, and they go up to youth group, which is incredible to think about. And so we got a new group of young people coming up through the ranks too. So it's going to be crazy. Philip and Cynthia said, "Amen." We know they're in our Sunday school class, right? And so we're looking forward to that. But pray for all those folks, their safety, all those churches involved. Our sending church will be there, Brother Casey and his team, and then a couple of other our churches that were sister churches too, Chillicothe and Xenia. So it'll be a good time. Pray for all those kids. And we have a couple new kids going this year. We're excited about that. And then the last announcement I want to give you is we will have Grow starting next Thursday. It comes up on us quick. We took July off, but next Thursday, we're going to be meeting. Miss Robin, this is going to be easy for you. Ready? This is big news. We're going to be meeting at Union Elementary School, all right, on Martindale Road. So we're going to take over Union for the next month, 2 weeks to a month. We're going to go out there and start handing out and canvassing out there. And so we want you to come out. We want everybody to participate. Next Thursday, we gave you a whole month off to refresh your legs, to renew yourself, to get renewed in the spirit so that you might run and eventually fly with wings of eagles out on Grow. Go reach our world. So we want everybody back out there. A big push as our fifth anniversary is coming, and we've got lots of stuff planned for that. Kona Ice is coming. We've got Six Inflatables coming. The Petting Zoo is coming. Sold Out Trio is going to be coming up doing a concert. And so we've got a lot of stuff coming. So we want to get the information out there the best we can. All right? Speaking of Union, Pastor Dan Kinser, a friend of mine, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Union, has cancer. And we've been praying for him, but he's on our prayer list. So keep him in your prayers as well. A good man and been good to me since I've been here. So we want to keep that family in our prayers. Okay? All right, anybody have any prayer requests they'd like to add or update this evening? Ms. Jalise? Yeah, so my son Grayson has strep again. Skipped a week, and then we have a couple of kids out with sickness and pink eye and so crazy. Drew? You got a house? All right. So the Stiver family, if you've been praying about that, we've been praying, and so God answered that, and I never fear too much because just God's just going to be God. Brother Jeremy? Yep. Warren Maisie sick. We got a lot of people sick, just crusty summer colds, brother. Matthew?
We're praying for Randy.
He's had our operation. Yep. So Miss Randy, I know the feeling. She's had sinus surgery. And you know what I found out? I breathe a lot better in the South. I could breathe in South Carolina and Georgia. And as soon as I got back to Cincinnati, it was like all the pressure's right here. So all I'm saying is I'm probably going to move down south. And so you need to find a pastor. So I breathe so much better down there. It's ridiculous. Brother Andy? Okay. It is crazy how right now in the summertime there's so much sickness. I'm still trying to catch up. From Ms. Rebecca? Sandra Hutchinson, she's in your bottom left salvation request one. Okay. And Bethany Hatcher told us that she confirmed with her dad, Dan Poteet. He's there on your right corner. We can take him off. She confirmed he didn't have much of a profession, but she talked to him, and he is saved. He just has been a very weak Christian and not discipled. So we're just praying for him. He's still on the health concerns, but you can still pray for him for wisdom. All right. Ms. Carrie? Is it Blair? Blair, okay. All right, we'll get Brandon Blair at it there.
We'll get paid this week if they come based on
Salyer. Okay. So Miss Sierra, is she going by Salyer?
No.
Still going Crewe? Okay. So Miss Sierra Crewe's divorce was final, and normally we'd be against divorce, but there's lots of reasons, biblical reasons why she's divorced, and she needed to be divorced. So praise the Lord that she's free from that fool. I can say that from the pulpit without any fear. Start. Yep. Helen Bryant's family. Spoken there. Miss Robin? We all like when Nana comes. Me too. Cynthia?
Some of our friends, I don't know if you guys are together, but it's a Melbourne restaurant. We call our daughter died in the beginning. And she has kind of old, and they pretty much had to have the oldest since she was born. Dad had never been in the picture.
What's her last name? Childers. Children's family. Azalea. No shot that I'm going to spell that right.
My girls, last year was at UK Christian. Mm-hmm. We're waiting on the renewal for Ed Choice. And we haven't heard yet. And we're just really stressing everybody out.
Yeah.
The kids are at school. We need to come out and work more. And they did excellent stuff here.
Okay. Did your boys go to East Dayton Christian?
That's right.
Yeah. So Cameron and Kaylin, we're praying for them and their school situation.
And we're also trying to start the adoption process. I hope my SSI started. So we can now start the adoption process. I've had them since they were 5 years old.
Uh-huh. Okay. So praying for all those things. Great. Sure. Egregious situation there.
Yeah.
Jennifer?
Mm-hmm. She came through the hernia surgery, but afterwards, during her recovery, they started doing some of her heart testing because they knew it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And she is just diagnosed with a very rare heart condition that could be fatal if not medicated correctly, and the medication is very hard to
come. Okay. Emily Fine, about middle of the way on your right hand column. Anybody else? She would keep praying for my mother, but she got a good report today that her cancer, that she's got a new team of doctors at UC Westchester, and they have seen her. She's not going to have to do, but she was supposed to have 4 more chemo treatments. She only has 2 more now, and that it's shrinking, and that it's at bay, and then after that, she's only going to have to take pills where they thought that it was incurable. So this was a second, and so they thought that it was in her lungs, and it's not. It's just outside on her breast cancer again. And so we got a huge answer to prayer today. So why second opinions are important, and God's opinion is the only one that matters, amen? Because there's nothing they could do. So praise the Lord for that. Anybody else have a prayer request? Or? I told you, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Very, very simple, straightforward. But we noticed this, and it's been on my heart, and you've heard me been preaching about Satan's attacks. And now listen, don't say I didn't warn you that we're going to be sick and that things were going to happen and that crazy stuff was going to go on. Don't say I didn't warn you that Satan did not like that we were seeing people saved. And don't say I didn't warn you that he didn't like that all those people had been baptized and good stuff. come back from camp, and all those kids got saved at our camp, and we come back, and people are walking the aisles and getting saved, and just don't say I didn't warn you. And then I go down to, on my way to preach at camp, and Sadea and I got stuck in Charlotte on the tarmac for an hour. No, we still don't know why. And from Charlotte to Greenville, where we were flying, it's only a 20-minute flight. You go up, and you come right back down. So I could have drove there. Car and drove to Charlotte in that period of time. And then on the way back, Brandon was going to pick us up from the airport in Cincinnati, and he's driving my car, and the tire popped on 75, and so he had to turn around and come get Nancy's car. And all I'm saying to you is Satan is fighting very hard. People are sick, and summer colds, and crazy stuff going on, and surgeries, and just there's so much stuff going on. And I'm telling you this, because I know what I know, and Satan doesn't fight churches that aren't doing anything. He care less. He doesn't fight Christians that aren't doing anything. He just lets them continue to do what they're doing. And so our church isn't perfect, but I know this. Anybody that decides that they would leave the church or they're moving on, there's lots of fault in me. There's lots of fault. It's all fine. But that would all just be a Satan decision that he's got a hold of them and that he's moved them apart. And some of them need to go. And I'm saying this again out loud to all of you. As the shepherd, sometimes there's wolves. The Bible says, take us the foxes, the little foxes, the spoil of the vine. And sometimes you just got to get rid of people. And you might not know what's wrong with them, but I might know what's wrong with them. And they might look like the best thing ever, but there's such thing as what? Sheep and wolves clothing. They look good on the outside, but inside they're a wreck. And those are the people that we would just say, we love you, but it's time for you to go. You can go. And usually I don't have to do anything because they know. And I shoot them while I'm preaching, and they figured it out. Not literally for anybody that's new here. I never shot anybody while I was preaching. I've thought about it, but not that way. But you know what it all comes down to, and I was thinking about this when I get away for camp and when I have an opportunity to preach, and it did go well for those of you who were praying. Thank you. We had several young folks saved, 200 kids and over 300 people at the camp, cooks and everybody else coming into the sermon, and we had several saved, several rededications, a lot of kids that are going back and wanting to get baptized, get involved, and then got the opportunity to preach at my mentor's church, and that was great Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a couple guys walked the aisle. A teen that didn't go to camp that they had been praying for walked the aisle and got saved and got information and talked to him. And so a lot of good things going on there all over the place in a very good church. And I bring that up, and I was thinking while I was gone, if I had another opportunity, I preached six times at that camp. If I had another opportunity, I probably would have preached something like this. Satan is attacking, and the number one way he's attacking is with the very first thing in the Bible. He's attacking the creation of God. He's attacking the creation of God. And I'll show you very simply tonight. But we take our Bibles and we look in Genesis chapter 1. A lot of you can quote this. Our Awana kids can probably quote this. Ezekiel can probably quote this off the top of his head. And, you know, it's very, very easy, but it's also very deep what goes on here. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It only took Satan one verse to start fighting God. Because we know that God created him, and he's a created being, and we know that Satan is, he's fighting against God. So in the beginning, God is the most infinite. He's El, the word El, El Shaddai, Elohim. It would be the word that the Muslims get Allah from in the Arabic language. It's the infinite, most power, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, supreme authority. This is one who no one else is like. Well, we know that initially as God creates heaven and the earth, and he creates the hosts of the heaven and the earth, that Satan, Isaiah tells us, that Satan wanted to be like the Most High God, right? He didn't necessarily want to be God, but he wanted to be like God. And so in order to do that, he had to start trying to cut at God's character and at his creation. So we see here in Genesis 1 that in the beginning, God. So the very first thing that Satan attacks is God. If Satan will attack God, he'll certainly attack you. And then we see the heaven and the earth. He's attacking the heaven and the earth. From what I know about the Bible, Satan, he can't destroy the heaven and the earth. He doesn't have the ability, because the Bible says that God will destroy the heaven and the earth, that he casts the earth into the lake of fire burning with brimstone, and he makes a new heaven and a new earth. So Satan can't attack and destroy God's original creation. He can't destroy God, and he can't destroy heaven and earth. So what does Satan have to do? Satan has to try to destroy everything that's in and around heaven and earth. And we see that tonight keep going in your Bibles, go all the way over to Genesis 1:26. So through this, he creates. God says, I created this, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. And he gets to his greatest creation, which is man. He tells the animals to be fruitful and multiply. And then he gives man, in chapter 26, a life. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man. Tonight, what does Satan attack? Satan is attacking the image of God. He's attacking the image of God. He attacked God. He attacked the places of God. And now he's attacking the very image of God. How has Satan begun to do that? Well, God says they're made after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the flesh of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. See that? Over the fish of the sea, your pastor is a shark catcher. I caught a big shark down there. It was about 300 pounds, about 10 foot tall. No, really, it's about 4 feet, 100 pounds. In my mind, took 25 minutes to reel in, a wonderful time. Minion over that shark. I got pictures where we tied his tail to the boat, and I was the winner. I'm Oscar the Shark Slayer, if you've ever seen Shark Tale. Anyway, but what we see here is God made us his very best creation. So what does Satan do? He says, I can't destroy God. I can't destroy heaven and earth. So let me destroy the very thing that's the best thing about God, his very number one creation. So he's going to try to destroy a man, the people who are made in God's image. How has Satan tried to do that? He's tried to do that in lots of different ways. But do you know the number one way that Satan has done that? He's allowed man to destroy man. The murder rates all over our world are high. The birth rates are low. And so Satan is saying, if I can kill a whole bunch of people and get them to kill each other, if I can get people to go out and harm each other and less people are born, well, that's less opportunity for people to get saved and become God's people and to live for the glory of God. I was telling the noon service today, when I was coming up in the ranks at Iowa Baptist Church in Wilmington as a young man, it was just commonplace that there was families that were coming in with 15 passenger vans because people had 7 or 8 kids, and now they're telling you you can't afford to have more. When you say you have 4 kids, people look like you're crazy. If people say you have 5 kids, they look like you're crazy because you can't afford to have that many kids because inflation and things that are going on. And so what has Satan done? He's poisoned the world to make it very hard to have so many kids. They don't build anything for a family with more than 3 children, a hotel room, a car. It's very difficult. And so what's happened? He's saying, don't have a lot of babies, but remember God's original command. He's attacked the image. His original command is to be fruitful and multiply. Now, I'm not saying if you only have 1 child, no children, or 2 children, you didn't do God's command. That's not the point of this. What I'm saying is they make us almost seem like if you have more than 2 children, like you're a bad person, like you're bringing too many people. How did Satan start to go against the image of God? Because abortion. They'll say abortion's okay. They've made all these different things. Think about this. He's given us dominion over these things. But again, I had to make sure I was very clear about this. I like animals. I love animals. If you try to kill animals and harm animals just for fun, you're probably just for no reason to beat them up. But I do know this. There's a whole world of liberal thinking that would rather save the whales, but the same people that want to save the whales are all for abortion. The same liberal mindset will say, if a fox gets in the backyard and there's a little kid, well, don't harm and kill the fox, but there's a human child there. Now, I always, my wife gets mad at me because I'm just teasing about it, but I always say, peace to Harambe. You know, why did they have to kill the gorilla in there, you know? Why did Harambe got to have a statue out there? Why did they have to kill him? Harambe wasn't doing nothing wrong. That was bad parenting. The little boy got loose and got in there, and I understand why Harambe had to die. But there's people out there that are really, really mad that Harambe died over something that's created in the image of God. And it's sick. And it's perverted. And it's Satan attacking the very image of God and trying to fix up. Don't get me started here, but verse 27, how is he doing this? So God, what did God do? He created man in his own image. In the image of God created he, him, and female created he them. There's only 2 sexes, boy and girl. Every little boy and girl in the room today knows if they're a boy or a girl. There's no doubt. They didn't have to get assigned it at birth. They came out and they, you know what? I'm a little girl. You know what? I'm a little boy. But nowadays you can be a little teapot. You can be a little cat. You can be whatever you want. And it's sick. It's the pervertedness of Satan and how he's attacking the very image of God. Satan is attacking God. He's attacking his world. He's attacking his people. He's attacking the very image of God through murder, through abortion, which is murder, through confusion. God is not the author of confusion. Satan is. And because God's not, God would never create anybody and have them be thinking to themselves, when I was born, you know, am I a boy or a girl? Now listen to what I'm saying. Not every preacher believes this or agrees with this, but I believe in inherited sin. I believe in original sin. Every good Baptist preacher believes in inherited sin. Every good Baptist, all of sin and come short of the glory of God, because that's the Bible. That you were born a sinner because of Adam's sin, because of that sin passing on. So watch this. So you might disagree with me on this, but I believe that people can be born and really have an affinity towards the opposite sex. That they can be born and they might be a man, but they might like a man. But listen, but there is nowhere in the Bible people are born and they don't know that they're a boy. There's nowhere that's inherited sin. That's just sicko. That's just disgusting. That's just disturbed. You come out and have a desire towards something else because you, oh, Pastor, why do you say that? Because there are people who are prone and have a more sexual desire on their own for even of the same sex. Some people are prone to fornication and pornography, and some people don't, it never bothers them. I can testify today, I've dealt with lots of young men and even one young woman with my wife who was struggling with that sin, and it's not something I've ever struggled with. It's never bothered me. It's never been something I've had to worry about. But guess what? But I know there are people that are, why are some people with that and some people aren't? Well, I've told you before, the number one thing in my life that is saddled with, I lived a good, clean Christian, moral upbringing. My parents both worked, had a good home, never struggled for a meal, wasn't raised in a bad situation, wasn't raised in a violent situation, never saw my parents angry and domestic violence, none of those things, but anger's just in me. It's just something I was born with. I was quick, and when I was a young guy, and now I'm older and I have temperance and I can control it, when I was a young guy, I got mad and I just slapped you in the mouth and that's just how it was. Anger was in me. And because I got saved and became a new creature, that's going away and out of me, but it's still something I have to keep under control. That was just born in me. Nobody made me that way. I'm not a victim of anything that way other than sin. I was formed in that sin. So some people just have a sin of lying. You ever met somebody that's just a habitual liar? They just can't help themselves. A lot of them's my fishing buddies. They just can't help themselves. They're just liars. Well, why is he such a big liar? Because it's his original sin. He was just born that way. So yes, I believe people can be born and have an affinity toward the opposite sex. But nobody's ever born and realizes, you know what? I'm just going to be a girl, but I'm a boy. No, 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 no. That's just sick. That's the devil. That's perversion. That's nasty. It is. It's just nasty. So he's attacking our very image. Satan's good. I want you to realize that Satan's good. But keep going down here. Go over to Genesis chapter 3. What did he do next? Satan, number two, Satan attacked the inspiration of God. The word of God, every word of God is inspired of God. It's breathed out. God wrote it. He literally took his finger and wrote the Ten Commandments. The Bible said that he did. But God literally breathed this through men of old, men of renown, trusted sources, and put this into our world. Now listen, whether you believe the King James Bible or any other Bible, I will say to you this. We stand upon one certain Bible, because guess what Satan does? God's not the author of confusion, but Satan is. You know what happens in churches? People change the version of the Bible, and people get upset about it. People mess with the version of the Bible, because you know what happens when that happens? There's got to be some standard, and whether you have something different in your lap, that's between you and the Lord. But I will say this, our Constitution says that we'll always have the King James Bible. It'll never be changed. I can't change it. You can't change it. That's just the version of the Bible. If you don't like it, get over it and go somewhere else. Now watch, you'll say, oh, well, Pastor, well, we've used the New King James, or we've used the ESV or the NIV. Fine, that's between you and the Lord. But I know this, that the King James Bible never takes away from the deity of Christ, and every other English-speaking version of the Bible takes away from the deity of Christ. You can look at the NIV, and the verse that says, so Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost is not there in the NIV or the ESV. It's taken away. What is that saying? That they don't believe that God, through his son Jesus Christ, is God, and that he can't seek and save that which was lost. Well, I believe that today. Now, this isn't a King James Bible study, but watch what I'm going to do here and show you this. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle. We know that serpent from Revelation is that old serpent is the devil and Satan, the Bible says. And he's more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So he says, is God's word not this? This is the Bible. Is God's word not this? The inspired word of God. He attacks the inspiration of God. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. The woman knew the word of God. She knew what was right in the word of God. But watch Satan attack the inspiration of God. He says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He says, what God said is not true. He offers confusion. You know what happened there? The very first different version of the Bible. The very first perverted version of the Bible. You say, Pastor, you believe that the King James is the authorized, preserved word, and it's the only word of God that we should be using? I do. That's my preference, but I'm not arguing. I'm not mad about it. But I will say this to you, that if God's not the author of confusion, why do we have the NSB, the TLP, the BLT, the RSP, the CED, the R? We got so many acronyms and initials, we can't keep up with what Bible we're using. And all I'm saying to you is, God didn't do that. That's just in the English language. Let me get to you in Thai. Let me get to you in Portuguese. Get to you in Spanish, because there's different versions in those languages too. So we've got millions of different versions of the Bible. God didn't do that. God has one word. Satan did that. Because if Satan can confuse the people with God's word and the people are inside of the church fighting over if this is the word of God or this is the word of God or if that's the real word of God, well, we're never going to get anything done. If we can't even agree on the one thing that we should be agreeing upon, we ain't going to get nothing done, are we? If we in here arguing over, well, Pastor, I believe we should use the NIV. Guess what? Somebody out there is dying and going to hell because we're arguing over the thing that should be the most standard thing that we have. He's attacking the inspiration of God. He's attacked our image. He's attacked our inspiration. Keep going here. He said, Satan says in verse 5, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then ye shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And you know, Satan told a little bit of truth here. Because in that day, their eyes were open to a sense, to a point, because Brother Carter's been, do you realize this? There was never anything wrong before this. Now watch, this is how crazy this is. The noon service looked at me like I had three heads when I said this today. Now, I'm not a great theologian, but I know this. Watch this. Before this, Birdie's back there. She's a great example tonight. No offense, Birdie, but you're a sinner. You know how I know she's a sinner? You know how her parents know she's a sinner? Because there's the verse in the Bible paraphrasing, but that wherever the ox is, you have to clean the crib, essentially. Pastor Tim Carter always says, every pony poops. No matter how pretty the pony is, it poops. Listen, no matter how pretty the baby is, that baby poops. And you went to Ken and said, yep, amen, brother, amen. He had a few of those. And you know what I know that poop is? It's waste. God gave the garden and the fruit and the food, and there was no waste. Nobody ever pooped before sin. You say, okay, what about urination? There was no sweat, so there was no reason to hydrate. There was no reason, even if they drank, there was no reason for them to urinate. Now, watch this. In dieting and these things, you can't, fat does not come out of your rear. Fat only comes out in urine, okay? And so that's just waste. That's just stuff your body doesn't need. It's bad. It's bad. So watch this. So now they're going to eat something. They're going to sin. And waste comes in, trash comes in, and then sweat comes in. After that, now they got to work, and sweat, perspiration comes in. There was never any BO. Man, that would have been great working in the jail with no BO. There was never any stinky feet. Because God said everything that he made was good. So only after that, sorry, Barty, only after that did bad come in. Satan perverted the inspiration of God and got the woman off that. And she saw, in the verse 6 says, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her. And he did eat. They changed the word of God. They listened to a different version. They listened to something that was not truth. And they brought waste and recklessness and confusion into the world. Before that, there was never any confusion. Before that, you can debate this whether you want to or not. Before that, there was never any umbilical cords. Before that, never a woman had ever carried a baby in the womb. Adam was formed of the dust of the ground. Eve formed from the rib. Biologically, a man is still lacking one rib that a woman has. Can't make this up. Satan attacked it. He attacked the image of God. He attacked the inspiration of God. But now Satan attacks the institution of God. Here's where we are, church. Watch this. Go all the way over to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. What's happened in the meantime is people are ridiculous. They're bad. There's sin on earth. God says, we're going to flood the earth. Noah, take your three sons, their three wives and your wife get into the ark. I'm going to save you eight people. You're going to come out of the flood. And once you come out, I want your three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, to go out and to repopulate the earth and multiply. They make some mistakes, but at long past, they've gotten to this point, and now Abraham happens. And for the very first time, God, the Tower of Babel happens, and God has to confuse the language and separate people because people are just so bad. That's the Reader's Digest version of what happens between Genesis 3 and Genesis 12. And ultimately, here's what happens. God says, I'm going to call out a group of people. I'm going to call somebody out, and I'm going to make an ecclesia, a called-out assembly. That's what the church is. In the Greek, it's ecclesia. For us, it's a called-out assembly. And so ultimately, he's making Israel, but ultimately, he's making all people of faith in Jesus. And so if you had faith in Abraham, or Abraham, it goes to the line of Jesus. But watch what happens here. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Separate. That's sanctification. Get called out, separate yourself. And so even though the institution of the church, even though the law of Israel didn't come till later, this is why all the dispensations kind of overlap each other. But God is definitely, it's very clear, he's literally calling out a people group, because out of the loins of Abraham would come Israel. And out of the loin of Abraham, Jesus says that our faith, Hebrews 11 and 10 tell us that Abraham is our patriarch, our model of faith, and that we all are saved in faith and imputed righteousness to us just like Abraham. Am I right? If I had a Bible reader, somebody would be nodding their head right now just to make sure my facts are correct. And because of that, here's the first called out assembly. Watch how Satan attacks this. Watch this. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You know what he says? He says, some of your kindred are idiots and you got to get away from them. Some of y'all got saved and some of the people you hang out with are just, they're just no good. You got to get away from them. You got to get separated. You're called out. You got to get away from the world. But watch. He says this. He says, I'm going to make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thee thy great name, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. But do you know what the very first thing that happens after this is? Satan attacks the institution. Because Abraham goes out and he starts walking this way. Sarai is a very beautiful woman, and Abraham, he listens to God, and he goes, but as soon as they see his wife, he says, we got to tell them you're my sister, or they're going to kill me. So he lies. They don't get too much further. They get to the land. They get closer, and they're walking out there. He takes his nephew Lot with him, and him and Lot have beef. They have a sharp contention, and they separate. Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. Lot comes out. His wife gets turned into a pillar of salt, and then Lot's two daughters defile themselves with their dad and have children by their dad, and that's a problem. Abraham goes out, and Abraham says, I can't have any children. God said he's going to bless and be multiplying us. And Sarah said, I can't have any babies, Abie. Why don't you take my slave girl, Hagar, and have a baby with her? And so Abraham says, okay, woman, I'll do what you say. Have Ishmael, and from Ishmael, all the Muslims of the world and all the Gentile nations in that part of the world, the Arabic people, have been here, and they've been a problem ever since. And then she gets mad, and she says, well, Ishmael and Hagar are making fun of us, and that's not of them. And then God says, okay, I'm going to bless you, but here comes Isaac. And as soon as he has Isaac, Isaac goes out and has two sons, Jacob and Esau, and there's two nations, and they start beefing right away, even in the womb. And then Jacob comes out, and he has these 12 sons, and they're a bunch of wretches. And then they go out into the church. And all I'm saying is, Satan started attacking the very institution of God, even in the book of Genesis. We're only through 12 chapters, a little over 12 chapters, and look how he has just went ahead and attacked all these things of God. He's attacked the very image of God. He's attacked the very inspiration of God, and he's attacked the very institution of God. And I bring that to an applicable state for the church today to say this to you, that he's still doing that inside of the church. Now, I'm not just talking about Assurance Baptist Church, but let me make it real to you. Even inside of Assurance Baptist Church, the only reason somebody leaves a good church is because Satan got a hold of them. You listen to me. Unless you've moved, or unless you've married and you've got a different life or something like that, the only reason you leave is because Satan got up on you because you didn't like something the preacher said that was true, or because you got high and mighty and left because somebody hurt your feelings, even though you're a sinner and you won't get over yourself and realize, you know what, I made mistakes too. You might have messed somebody up too. Come on. I'm talking about a good church, a church that's winning souls, seeing people baptized, a church that's growing, a people that are being discipled. Now, it doesn't have to be, there's no such thing as a perfect church. The image of the people in the church. He gets you mad at each other. He gets you upset with each other. And then he's winning. He can't win. He's already winning with lost people. He ain't bothering the people at the apartments next door. He he's bothering you. He ain't bothering the people at your job. Listen, I know what's going on with Jason Aldean and all the things, and this won't happen in a small town and all these other things, and I could care less about any of that stuff because whether you like it or not, the church is a geopolitical engine, and here's why I know, because every political cycle, they say the evangelicals were here in the Bible Belt, and so even if you don't think you're political, the church is, and guess what happens? Satan attacks that image, and it's got churches arguing, it's got the whole United Methodist arguing and divided with each other. You know what they're divided about? Whether or not they'll accept lesbian and gay pastors. They've already got women pastors, which is wrong. Because the word of God, because the inspiration says it's wrong. And you can get mad at me all you want, but that's what the Bible says. I wish we could get a little more of that. Let the women keep silent in their church. But it just don't work out that way. I'm just joking. But listen, I'm saying this to you. It is such an important thing that we understand Satan is attacking the image of God. The likeness of God. And he says, if I can get them stirred up against each other, they'll vote for the wrong things. They'll say, well, you know, I do think that if a woman is raped, maybe she should be able to have an abortion. It's not what God said.
Amen.
It's not what the Bible says.
Amen.
Somebody adopt that baby.
Yes.
Stop being a sicko and a psycho. Stop thinking with your psychology and start thinking with some theology.
Amen.
You want to be a Christian.
Amen.
But Satan's attacking the very image. The very likeness. And then he attacks the inspiration. He says, oh, if I can get you, Eve, you know what? Your desire, you didn't even want to look at that tree, but let me just say, you're not going to die. It's okay. Slickster guys that's trying to get a young girl and try to talk to her. Oh, no, I love you. Liar. You're just saying what you want because you want to get something. And Satan said, her eyes changed and she desired the tree for fruit. She saw that the tree was good. She said, I'm not supposed to eat that in verse 3. And by verse 5, she said, you know, the tree looked good. Delicious. It happens. Our appetites change. Satan changes our appetites. He gets into it. He says, here's the word of God. We know the word of God, but let me change what you want. Let me change what's right with you. And so he changes. He starts making you say, sin feels good. Yeah, sin's okay. You know it's wrong, but I'm going to have you do it anyway. You know, every time you sin, now listen, don't you think that you're a big sinner or a little sinner? Just know that you're a sinner. Every time you sin, what you decided is that your appetite for what you want is bigger than your appetite for God. That's what you decided. I don't care if it's a little white lie. Think of the most egregious sin. I don't care what it is. That's what you decided, that what I want is more important than what God said. That's what sin is. Satan's attacking that every single day. And you know what? Satan's not even using the lost people to attack it. He's using the church to attack the inspiration of the Word of God. He got so many verses. Again, this isn't a King James stance as far as me preaching a message about King James, but this is why we have a stance on the Bible and why we're not going to change. Because some of y'all been in churches where they changed the version of the Bible and there was a big fight because of it. Now we got saved people arguing over God's Word. Think about how stupid that is. Now, trust me. I believe in this one, okay? I stand on this, but I'm saying this to you. Think about how, I'll just say it, I don't care. If you have a pastor friend that did this, you can tell him I said it, you can send him a Think about how dumb you got to be to have a church that's going really well, and you say, you know what, I just think we'll decide to change the Bible version we have in the church today so I can lose half my people because I know they're going to be mad about it. That's got to be Satan at work. Come on now. That's got to be Satan at work. Now, if I change the chairs, if I change them, you know, I'm not saying music to where we go crazy with this, something crazy, that would be a big deal. But why would we change something that ain't broke? I only change light bulbs when they go out. Long as they're working, I just keep on living and loving that light. What kind of idiot you got to be to change something that ain't broke? I never take my car to the shop when the engine light's not on. If the engine light's not on in my car, it's a miracle in the first place. The engine light, I'm always riding dirty in my cars with the engine light's just always on. I'm like, they're like, what's the diagnostic say? Oh, they say that. We don't need that. Just keep on driving. You know, that's how we do it. Now, you do what you want to do. It just don't bother me that much. I'm not offended by the engine light. I see it come on. I say, there's my old friend. You know what I mean? It's just one of those things for me. But you know what? Why would I? I'm never going to take the car to the shop for sure. Listen, I'm riding them tires, and as long as them tires is rolling, you know what I mean? If they look good, I'm not taking them in there. And I'm getting all the tread I can out of them tires. It's about $4 billion now, right? What kind of idiot you got to be to change the Word of God and have Christians, have saved people arguing over the Word of God? Satan loves that. That's confusing, isn't it? Well, you know, in the
old Wycliffe Bible, the Word of God says.
You know what? These theologians and scholars make me sick. They ain't want to say one person to the Lord. All these people that think they're smart and analytical, they ain't built a church. They ain't won one person. They ain't seen one person disciple to one person baptized. Just be quiet. You don't know. All you're doing is letting Satan use you to destroy and to eat up because he only comes to steal and to kill. And he's attacking the institution. Hear me? Hear me well. I don't want credit. I'm not telling you I'm a prophet, but I am telling you this. I told you a month and a half ago that bad stuff was going to start happening to and in our church. Anybody that's listened to me heard me say that because I ain't going to be up here and be a liar to you. I told you, Satan is so mad that we got another baptism coming up, two more baptisms coming up. He's so mad. He was so mad when all people got saved. He's so mad that the church is growing. He's so mad when people are getting on fire. People that never worked in a ministry or working in a ministry. People that never been to camp, went to camp. He's so mad. He don't like it. He's going to fight us. Pastor Dan told me a long time ago as a young preacher, he said, as soon as good things start going and you start preaching Satan, he's going to attack you. And I saw it happen in 2020, early in the year. I saw it happen a few times as an assistant at Bible Baptist Church, and we're in that spell of life. Weird stuff. People getting strep throat and COVID in the middle of summertime, pink eye and hand, foot, and mouth, and all kinds. He hates it. Then we got a young guy that goes out to Cuba and sees 200 people say, he is mad at us. And he's attacking the very creation. How's he attacked it in the public schools? He said, oh, all this stuff came from a big bang. Yeah, it did come from a big bang. The voice of God said, let there be light. And there was light. That was the big bang they heard. Because the voice of God is a roaring thunder. And God said, heaven and the earth, he said, sun, you go there. Moon, you go there. Fish, you swim there. Birds, you fly there. Donkey, you hee-haw over there. And this is how we're going to do it. That was the big bang they heard.
Amen.
But Satan attacked that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
He attacks the church. Listen, I want you to hear me, the Wednesday night crowd. There's going to be some people you don't see in church anymore, and I don't want you to ask where they're at. I want you just to realize that Satan got them. And your pastor's done everything he possibly could to keep them, but at a certain point when the sheep turns to a wolf, your pastor is perfectly okay with shooting them and letting them go somewhere else. Perfectly okay with it. Because I care more about the sheep that want to be here. My sheep hear my voice and they know me. Listen, don't you be surprised. It happens. And when we get into a season like this, Satan, just like Eve, he'll suddenly sneak in and nothing's wrong in this house. Because they won't come talk to you about it. It will be some Rudy Poo excuse. Well, you know, grandmother is not feeling well. And so we're going to tend to grandmother. Grandmother been sick for 25 years. But you're soft and you don't want to come in and tell the truth that you're lazy, that Satan got a hold of you, that you're believing lies and things are changed. Or they'll come up with some Rudy Poo excuse. Oh, I just didn't really like that song we sang on Wednesday. I just didn't think it was a very godly song. Well, I'll be John Brown. I didn't know that your pastor, an ordained pastor, a very qualified and well-spoken, educated man, that there was one song that you didn't like. Please shut the front door. I can't believe I made one little mistake and that would have you leave the church. That's the devil. He's attacking the image. He's attacking the inspiration. He's attacking the institution. Don't you be surprised, Christian. I got to preach things like that and teach things like this because it just happens. And listen, I don't want you to be bothered by it because here's the truth of the Word of God. There's so much good going on, I'm not going to take time to stop for anything bad. I'm not going to lend Satan any credence to what's going on. I'm just going to keep on preaching. I'm just going to keep on showing up. I'm going to keep on. I'm not too tired. Listen, I've been on a plane. I came home. The tire was flat. We got up. I showed up to work Tuesday morning. I'm here Wednesday preaching the Word of God. I'm not going. I was meeting with Miss Abby after noon service today. She was at noon service and tonight. I said, now, you know, it's the same message twice. I said, even though I don't use notes on Wednesdays a lot of time, so it's probably going to be a lot different too. And she was like, I'm coming back tonight anyway. That's somebody that's hungry. She heard Pastor Jeremy preaching. She wants to be here. And I got people that have been in church for 30 years that won't show up because they say I'm too tired or this is going on or the Reds are playing tonight, or because grandbaby's got a game. And all I'm saying is, get over it. It's Satan fighting you and you need to stand up. God, you need to stand up for the image of God. You need to stand up for the inspiration of God. You need to stand up for the institution of God. Get right and live justified in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and watch what God will do.
Amen.
Satan can't destroy this earth. He can't destroy heaven. He can't take your life. Listen, all he can do is get in your way and create obstacles and try to get you off path. But the glory of God shineth about you, and his word is a covering and a providence, and the institution of God is a place of protection for the sinners to come in, a hospital for the sick, for the saints to come and get revived. And all is, if you'll do that, watch. I have to pass on by. He'll say, you know what? Assurance Baptist Church ain't the church to be messing with. He's standing outside the door, and he wants to tumble with us. And as soon as we put him in one of those God locks through the Holy Spirit and kick his butt out the front door, he won't come back for a long time. Just trust me on this.
Glory to God.
But, well, God got to be ready. We're an army. This is not for the faint of heart. God said, put you on the whole armor of God. God said, we are at a war. He didn't say, you know what? Don't worry about putting that stuff on. There's no thing to put it on. And why? So that we might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Satan's shooting, but when we're standing with the armor on, he said, ain't nothing Satan can do with you. Get you behind me, Satan. Yeah. He, get up out of here. Mm-mm, you don't got no power. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word of God out of the mouth of God. You can't do nothing with us. Assurance Baptist Church, you listen to me really closely tonight, and we're finished. He's attacking the image. He does that individually. He got Eve separated. Notice that? He got her away from Adam. And then he attacked individually. When you're in the comfort and the enclosure of the other people of God, it's harder for Satan to get with you. You get out there by yourself. When people start missing church a whole bunch, that's when Satan starts getting them away from church a whole bunch. People that are faithful, they go through trials just like everybody else, but they stay faithful. Come on. Listen, if you're always in church, you can't get out of church. Makes pretty much sense, doesn't it? Now watch this. He attacks the inspiration of God. How does he attack the inspiration? Well, you got to know a little bit. I always ask it. I got any Bible readers in here? The reason why I say that is because some things I'd be saying you should know about by now as mature Christians. Some stories I bring up and you'd be like, I never heard that before. Now listen, I'm not asking you to know who Jephunneh is, but I am asking you, you should know who Elijah and Elisha are. You should be mature enough in your word of God. You should probably have a good idea who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are at this point. I wish I had a Bible reader, somebody understood tonight what I'm saying. You can't stay a baby forever. At some point, you ought to grow up. You ought to get a little bit of meat in your life. I'm not asking you to know that Tabitha's name is Dorcas. I'm not asking you to know that Agabus prophesied in the book of Acts. But I am asking you to know who Paul is, that he used to be Saul, and that Saul is not the same Saul as the first king of Israel. Because the inspiration of God attacked him. If you don't know that it's being under attack, that's the problem in most places. The inspiration of God's under attack, but they don't know it's under attack because they don't know nothing about the Word of God. Because they ain't no Bible readers. And then the institution. Satan, he hates the church. Why do you think Jesus says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it? When Jesus says that, he says, I'll build my church. What he's saying is the gates of hell are trying to come against you. They can't take you, but they're fighting. They're trying. They're not giving up. They're not retreating. They're coming at you. He's attacking the institution of God. And the only way that we can stand up against that is by the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, the Spirit that indwelled in us, and together in this institution, this called out assembly. See, Abraham had no strength in his own, but Abraham began to get strength. And really what happens to Abraham, he never got to the promised land. But what happened to Abraham is through his loin come the 12 tribes of Israel, and through they get to the promised land when Joshua leads them in. But that isn't even the promised land according to the book of Hebrews that God's talking about. He says there's a city, and it's up there, and the foundation is laid. It's not the heaven of today. It's the new Jerusalem of Revelation 21. And there's a golden street, and there's a place where Jesus Christ is there, and there's no temple, and there's no sun, because the Lamb is the light of it. And there's all these things that are going on there, these beautiful things. And he says, Abraham, all the children of faith, that is what I was actually pointing you to. That is actually where I was pointing you to. And you got to get there by understanding that Satan is going to attack all along this yellow brick road called earth. He's going to attack God. He's going to attack God's place, heaven and earth. He went to heaven to talk to God about trying to get Job. Listen, all he's going to do is come after you. He's going to come after the image. He's going to come after the inspiration of God. He's going to come after the institution of God, because the family's an institution, isn't it? Is that God's institution? And there's as many Christian divorces as there are lost people divorces. That's because of Satan. No matter what the reason is, that's because of Satan. There's as many Christians that are in bankruptcy as lost people. There's as many Christians in debt as there are lost people. That's Satan. That ain't God's plan. Come on. Now watch. He's attacking all those things because he's attacking the institution. Watch this. The other institution, the family and the church, or the institutions of God, the other institution is the government. Well, we might have lost that one already. Satan might have that one. Because there's a bunch of jabronis out there in office. But you know what? I'm not going to give up. Even though, because guess what? It's God's institution. So when it's time to vote, I'm going to vote my Christian conscience. I ain't going to get up there for a person I like or some slick talker. I'm going to vote the things that were most in line with the Word of God, with the inspiration of God. I'm going to go up there to the voting polls. I'm going to be excited. I don't care if the candidate's black, white, red. I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat. I'm going to go up there and vote my Christian conscience for the person who's running on the best standards of the Word of God. And that, my friends, we can still, God's still in control of the government. Don't you be confused by that. Even though Satan seems like he has the battle won, God could flip it on his head tomorrow if he chooses. When's the last time you prayed for the president? I make fun of him a lot. But when's the last time you prayed for him? Because the Bible says, pray for the magistrates. Obey them that are in the rule. Pray for him. Pray for the... Jesus said this, pray for those who hate you. Pray for your enemies. Well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to pray for them fools. But hey, that's what he said. When's the last time you prayed for him? When's the last time you prayed for the mayor? When's the last time you prayed for the governor? When's the last time you prayed for the senator? Do you even know who your senator is? When's the last time you prayed for your representative? All I'm saying is, God's in charge of all three institutions, but Satan is attacking them all. And so we got to fight in all three. We got to fight for our families. We got to fight for the politicians to be right. We got to fight and vote. We got to fight for our church. We got to stand up. Listen to me and listen to me clearly. If I left this church tomorrow, if you left, then you're not as strong a Christian as you think you are. Listen to me. Because I'm just a man. This is God's church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's God's church. And I ain't talking about this building. I'm talking about these people. I'll have church in a shoebox if that's what God wants me to do. But listen, this is important. The institution of God is important. I ain't going nowhere. I'm just saying. It's important, isn't it? Let the word of God profit. I say it every week as I was reading through the book of Isaiah myself, and I saw that verse and it struck my heart. But listen, you can say whatever you want. You can shake, rattle, and roll. But God said this, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. It's not going anywhere. And God wins no matter what. We sang it tonight on purpose. The battle belongs to you. So let's win it on our knees with our hands lifted high. Oh, God, the battle belongs to you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, thank you for this evening you've given us, Lord, for your word that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's not a sword. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's more than just a sword. It's supernatural. It cuts through all the wiles of Satan. And, Father, tonight we pray, and we will have an altar call, an invitation time, as music begins to play, that if anybody here tonight says, I want to get on the center, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, that inherent original sin is in you, and because of that sin, you're separated from God eternally. And you're not separated to nothing, you're separated to hell, a place of eternal darkness and torture. It wasn't created for you, it was created for Satan and his evil angels. But God is just, and he must get justice, and so he pours out his wrath. But then the good news of the Bible is that even though while we're yet sinners, God commendeth his love toward us. He loves us anyway. He loves us so much that he gave his begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He didn't do it to condemn us because he didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. And he says, how can you have this? Well, you must understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that he was buried, and that he rose again. He did that all because of he loves you, bearing your sin, raising again in newness of life. And you accept that by calling upon the name of the Lord, calling out, Lord, I believe, and I turn from my sin and turn to you. Call it repentance. And in that, Jesus says, that's calling upon the name, now shall be saved. For those here tonight, anybody that needs to do that tonight, the altar is open. You come and talk to us. And for everybody else, let's pray. Let's pray getting out of here. Let's fight on our knees, hands lifted high. Let's do it tonight. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's get right. Let's make sure. Let's pray all of our folks back to health. Let's pray all of our people back to strength. Let's pray all of our families to good health. Let's pray our institutions, for our governors, for our magistrates, political powers. Let's pray today for the attacks on the Word of God to stop inside of the churches and all around. Let's pray tonight for the individuals, for the image of God to stop murdering each other, to stop killing babies in the womb. Let's pray tonight for the institution of the church, for churches to be stand up and rise up against the sin of the world and against Satan and to stand for the Word of God and the Savior for which it stands. Let's do work. Come on. And tonight, we're so grateful. Thanks for everybody for being here. And you can continue to pray. We're going to close out here, and God's good. And let God be made true and every man made a liar tonight. Hey, listen, we've got a little change in our Awana ministry this year, not anything major. But if you were asked to serve in the Awana ministry, you accepted that, we're going to meet in the youth room right now, right here after service. Some of the youth are going to be in there. And just going to go ahead and give out the calendars and get that stuff going. So if that's you, meet me there right after. Everybody else, hey, Young at Heart's tomorrow at noon, 55 and over. And then Senior Sunday. So start inviting that elderly neighbor you don't know. Invite them to church Sunday. All right? I love our seniors, our Young at Heart's ministry, our 55 and over crew. Our church has been blessed. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And one of the reasons why I love them so much is because for a long time in our church, I was the old, Chandra and I were the oldest people at our church for like the first 3 years. Remember that, Maddie? It's funny, isn't it? Yeah. We would be here. We'd be 38, 39 years old. And we'd be the oldest people on Wednesday nights. And I prayed and prayed and prayed for God to send some folks that were older than us and wiser and had experience, and God began to bless and did it in different ways, and so thankful for that. And now I look around and I say, I need some more people my age. I need some more people with male pattern baldness coming around here in dad bods. I need some more of those folks at our age, right, Miss Rebecca, and our group people, Miss Jennifer. There's a few of us, but not many of us, and so we're looking for that. But God is good all the time, amen, and so we're so glad that you're here tonight. All right, I'll see you. If I don't see you tomorrow for Young at Hearts, I'll see you Sunday.